But if you're looking for validation based on the people around you, you're probably missing a little bit. If you get to that finish mat and you're like, I don't care where everybody else is, I know that was the best I had, there's nothing more you can do. So you'll be proud of the result or the outcome, regardless of where it is, right?
Welcome to the Barbend Podcast, where we talk to the smartest athletes, coaches, and minds from around the world of strength. I'm your host, David Thomas Tao, and this podcast is presented by barbend.com. Today, I'm talking to CrossFit coach and former competitive athlete, Adam Neifer. He's also a CrossFit affiliate owner, and he's been in the game for a long time. We first met way back in 2013. These days, Adam is best known more broadly in the CrossFit community as the coach of two-time reigning fittest man on earth, Justin Medeiros. This is actually Adam's second time on the podcast, and we sit down to talk about a lot, including how his coaching philosophy has changed over the years, his approach to owning and operating a gym, working with high-level athletes, because there was a time when Adam thought he was done with that. And then Justin Medeiros came knocking, and the rest is history. Adam is a super thoughtful guy. I learned something from every conversation I have with him, and I hope you do as well. Enjoy the episode. Adam, man, it is always great to chat with you. I remember I was thinking back again to like the first time we met, which is almost exactly 10 years ago.
Wow, man, time flies.
I think it was regionals 2013. I couldn't see those years blur together for me, right? Those like 2012, 13, 14, they're all kind of the same for me, but I think it was back then. And I got to say, whatever your skin routine is, you got to like drop that in the chat because you look better than ever, my friend.
Oh, thanks, man. Much appreciated. It's, you know, it's all about the lighting.
It's all about the lighting, wear your sunscreen, you know what I mean? Well, what is occupying your time these days? Like, if you had to break it out into a pie chart, what's a week looking like for you?
Wow. Man, now you sound like my wife asking me, you know, what I'm up to with all my free time, you know?
Oh, that was not my intention, but we'll go there.
No, sure. You know, to be honest, a lot has changed since 2012, 13, 14, whenever that was. But at the same time, so much hasn't changed. A lot has stayed the same. So I would say in my pie chart, you know, I'm a dad, I'm a husband, own an affiliate in CrossFit Fort Vancouver. A lot of things have remained the same, but the part of me that was like training a ton, which was maybe too big a part of the pie back then, has shifted a lot more toward coaching. And so, you know, I'm still busy running the affiliate, coaching classes, but yeah, it's awesome. I get to, from a training standpoint, I work out, you know, in my gym. I usually take 3, 4, maybe 5 classes a week. And that is the majority of my training at this point. And I love it, man. It's awesome. And so that opens up more time and space for other things like coaching, both in the affiliate and the more competitive athletes as well.
It's almost like you don't have to work out 9 sessions a week to live a healthy lifestyle. We kind of get in our little echo chamber for elite athleticism. And it's almost like there are diminishing returns after a point for most people. Crazy to think of, I know.
And it's exactly like that. Yeah, it is crazy. Yeah, but also, you know, it's more enjoyable for me at this point to be able to just go in, be a little bit more unattached to the outcomes of putting pressure on, you know, setting PRs or constantly just pushing pace on what's possible and just enjoying the process a little bit more now.
Well, it's good to hear. It's always good to hear people who make a transition from being hyper-focused on their own performance. As they transition away from that, they rediscover the joy of training.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that you've experienced over the last few years?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And not to say I didn't enjoy it when I was competing, but I felt the last couple of years that I was putting so much time and effort into that part of my life that I wasn't able to prioritize some other things as much as I wanted to. Mm. You know, at this point, I find that working out is just like, man, it is so enjoyable in the sense that it allows me to just go in, have a great time with my buddies, take classes at my gym, and, you know, and then whatever happens, it's like, cool, I feel better, I feel more energized, I feel, yeah, just happier throughout my day when I get to do that. So, yeah, life is good, man.
That's good to hear. Let's talk a little bit. I think we last chatted, it was maybe almost 3 years ago on the podcast. But I want to talk a little bit about how has your experience being an affiliate owner, operator, coach evolved over the last 3 years? Because CrossFit itself as an organization, we don't need to go into every detail here, but has changed a lot over the last 3 years. We saw a number of folks de-affiliate or disaffiliate. I'm not sure which way to say it. We saw some folks come back to CrossFit. But, you know, on the ground, boots on the ground, you're running your affiliate, you're operating it, you're also coaching, you're managing staff. How has that experience shifted over the last, like, over the last 3 years, if at all?
You know, I think the shifts have been small over the last few years, and really just trying to improve, you know, 1 or 2% here and there. There hasn't been any major changes that we've had than our affiliate, but you know, I think about just from an education standpoint, both myself and my coaches, we've had an opportunity to take the Conjugate Strength Seminar, powerlifting seminar here a couple of weeks ago, which was awesome. We had aerobic capacity out last year with Hinshaw. We had the gymnastics course out, and we've also, our staff and our team is pretty involved in the Burner Strength CrossFit Weightlifting course. You know, just having had more coaches have more access to more educational opportunities just hopefully levels up just a little bit, you know, all the time. And we've been really fortunate to have a pretty consistent staff of full-time coaches at our gym. And so, you know, we're always trying to get a little bit better all the time. And that's hopefully what has happened over the last few years. We've grown a little bit as an affiliate, but like I said, not a ton has changed other than, you know, continuing to constantly strive to just level up a little bit.
Yeah. We don't have those beginner gains anymore, right? It's about getting 1 or 2% better. You're not getting your training age, your gym age, your community age. It's pretty mature, right? It's not like you're opening a brand new affiliate and you can expect 20% growth month after month. You just kind of have to build on what you already have while not losing that strength.
Yeah, no, you're right. And I don't know how mature it is, but we've been around for like 15 years now.
So yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if there's something new to try, we've probably tried it, you know, over the course of that time and learned a lot over the course of that time, what works, maybe what doesn't work as well. And definitely have a community of a lot of folks that have been doing CrossFit now for a decade or more, but also there's new people, you know, starting their journey. And so trying to meet people where they're at and, you know, making our gym, making our affiliates a place where people can come in and it makes their life better outside the gym, regardless of what they're training for is, you know, that's the goal.
So what year did your affiliate open? Remind me, is it 2008?
We started right at the beginning of 2009.
2009, okay. Back then, I do remember, I wasn't CrossFitting back then, but I do remember around that era, probably call it 2010, CrossFitters having such a tough time. Like I remember hearing about CrossFitters going to like weightlifting gyms or powerlifting gyms and like begging coaches in these sports to teach them and train them. And many coaches were hesitant because they're like, oh, I don't want to mess around with CrossFitters, yeah. Right? Yeah. Compare that to today, where you have some of the smartest minds in these other strength and athletic disciplines who are running courses affiliated with CrossFit and are like eager to both monetarily and also just intellectually work with CrossFitters. It's amazing how that mindset has shifted in the community. And like CrossFit is very much a part of the strength community now, right? It's not like the keep it at arm's length, we don't associate with CrossFitters anymore. It's like, hey, this is a great opportunity. It's a great business opportunity, a great opportunity to share knowledge. That transition still kind of blows my mind because I remember when CrossFitters were like begging weightlifting coaches to let them in and they were like, no way.
Yeah. No, definitely a lot has changed. And yeah, I don't know. I feel like, you know, everybody kind of goes through their own experience. But even back then, I remember literally at the 2009 games, Coach Bergner being at the CrossFit games and being like, hey, who wants to snatch? You know, just like there was some, you know, and he's an international level coach, Olympic coach. Like there's just some people that, you know, they don't care. They just want to share their passion with others. And that's been, I think, a part of the CrossFit community for forever. But there's just a whole lot more people doing CrossFit now, right?
Well, yeah, I have to give Coach Bergner a lot of credit because he was kind of, I'd say, the first or one of the first, at least in Olympic weightlifting, in weightlifting, to embrace CrossFit as an opportunity to spread the sport of weightlifting. Whereas I do remember, because I was weightlifting back then, I do remember some coaches saying CrossFitters are just bastardizing the sport, right?
Definitely had a lot of that experience too.
Yeah, and they just really, like, they didn't want to be seen kind of in the same room, or it was just like, let's keep them at arm's length. And you see Coach Bergner is saying, like, hey, if we get associated with CrossFitters, it's not going to ruin weightlifting. It's not going to make us worse. It's not going to make weightlifters worse, but maybe it would help grow the sport of weightlifting. And of course, now we see that membership in USA Weightlifting has basically 10x since then, maybe a little bit more.
So awesome, right? It's so awesome.
Yeah, it's almost like just getting a barbell in people's hands is a good thing and will have trickle-down effects. I'm not an economist. I don't know. No, they don't pay me to make those assumptions. But what I will ask now is, let's talk about you as a coach on the elite side. Because when we last chatted, I, for context, and we're going to link it in the show notes, the previous episode we did, you're obviously Justin Medeiros' coach. You know, he is the reigning and multi-time fittest man on earth, CrossFit Games champion. But when you were first beginning your coaching relationship with him, you weren't sure whether you wanted to coach elite athletes anymore. Am I remembering that correctly?
Yeah, no, that's 100% spot on.
Obviously, you made an exception. You kind of dove back into the elite coaching realm, and it paid off extraordinarily well. And you produced one of the fittest human beings in history, or to give him some credit, you helped him become one of the fittest human beings in history. It's not like you just, like, you know, did like Captain America in a lab and turned him into that overnight. He put in the work.
Long. Yep.
Is that something you look back on as a focal point in your career? And how has your mindset around training elite athletes changed over the course of the last 3-4 years?
Man, yeah, that is a great question. And, you know, I think it's constantly evolving. I will say that, yeah, when I left competing myself personally in CrossFit, not that I ever left it. I mean, I'm always a participant in CrossFit, but when I stopped making that a high priority in my life, I was like, yeah, just, I was really like set on creating more space for other things in my life. Right. And so I was like, man, if I'm going to be involved in competitive CrossFit, it's hard to do that halfway. Yeah, so I was resistant to it at first. And then, yeah, along came Justin. And I think what was really cool in the beginning, part of it is we just really meshed in personality-wise from the beginning. And he's obviously an amazing talent. Of course, at the time, none of us knew what he was capable of, but we were all really excited to find out.
He probably didn't know what he was capable of.
No. And that was one of the things that was really enticing for me was, you know, he was like, man, I have a year and a half of college left. I want to qualify for the CrossFit Games before I have to go out and get a real job, you know? And I was like, cool. I think that I have some experience that can help you do that in the next year and a half, and let's see where it goes. And it wasn't really, you know, planned beyond that. And so, you know, the fact that it's gone so well has been, yeah, just a huge blessing in my life. It's something that I'm thankful for, grateful to have the opportunity to be a part of his journey. You know, I've always said from the beginning, he's got that whatever it is, you know, the combination of talent and work ethic and all those things that I think almost whatever path Justin took would have led him to becoming who he is as an athlete. Maybe it would have taken a little longer or looked a little different in different environments. But yeah, man, I feel like with that relationship, as long as I can provide value to help him continue to improve, I'm all in. If at any point that's not happening and I'm not able to provide something that helps him get better, then my job is to help figure out what that environment is for him. Certainly in the beginning, it was a lot more just hands-on teaching and learning basic lessons. And the more we work together, the more it's become a partnership in that we're in this together and willing to figure out, you know, what the path forward looks like. Because, you know, you can't pretend to know what it's going to look like in a year, 2 years, 3 years from now.
How often do you and Justin make time and space to talk about continued goals in this work? Because it's very easy to like get stuck in the day-to-day of training. We're in the middle of the CrossFit Games competitive season right now as we're recording this. It's very easy to just look like, okay, what's the next training week? What's the next training week? What's the next competition? How are we peaking, you know, for semifinals? How are we peaking for the CrossFit Games? How often do you take space and step back and say, because I kind of know the answer. I'm kind of teasing it a little bit because you've talked to me about it before, but to say, hey man, let's check in. What do you want to, like, what do you want to do? What are your goals here?
Yeah. I mean, I would say like formally it would be after every major competition is to sit down at the drawing board and be like, okay, where do we go from here? And the last couple of years, we've gotten into, you know, what I would say is a pretty good routine, or just like kind of annual plan of the CrossFit Games are the holy grail, and the entire year is built around performing at top level at the CrossFit Games at end of July, beginning of August, whenever it is. From there, you know, the Rogue Invitational is the kind of the second one that's super important. And then the other one is the other live competition is semifinals, which is coming up here in about a month for us. So, you know, after each one of those events, we formally definitely sit down. We talk about not just how the event, the competition, each individual event, but also training leading up to and all those pieces leading up to competition went. And then, you know, be like, okay, what do we learn? Where do we go from here? And, you know, that timeline of doing it post-competition and kind of looking forward to the future has worked well for us.
Has your approach to working with Justin changed from when he was first qualifying for the CrossFit Games to now when he's trying to stay the fittest man on earth? Like, has that changed? And if so, how has that changed?
So, you know, answers like this are never like super simple of yes or no, but this is not an
easy question. I'm not throwing a soft lob here.
Yeah, no, totally. I would say yes and no. So the way that it has stayed the same is really focusing on, you know, every year, the version of Justin Medeiros being better than the previous year. Mm. And that's, you know, we've talked about that together since the beginning of like, hey, forget about what everybody else is up to. Forget about, you know, anybody else's performance. And let's make sure that the next year's version of Justin is better than the previous year. As long as we can keep doing that, it doesn't guarantee results, but, you know, we'll be set up to have a successful campaign. And so that really hasn't changed. And you know, that's something I kind of lay awake at night sometimes after the games. You're like, man, like, he's doing pretty okay. How do I help this individual get better? It's kind of daunting when you're like, hey, he's already pretty good, you know? But then you're like, well, let's look at all the data. Let's look at what we've been up to. Let's look at how we've trained and be like, no, there's plenty of room to continue improving, which is awesome, right? And so that simplifies it for me as a coach. So yeah, there's some things that are definitely the same. Some things that have changed are that, you know, I have to take a really good look at like how I can help, you know, and I keep referring to Justin, but he's not the only athlete that would be in that boat. But how do I continue to, you know, provide value and to help? And I'm absolutely in the CrossFit coaching space, what I would call a generalist, in that I came up to my, you know, my CrossFit coaching, at least in the competitive aspect, my coaching career as an athlete and as an affiliate level coach, right? And learned a lot through, you know, years and years of trial and error. And for those high level athletes, like, yep, great to have a generalist. And when it comes to competition, I feel super equipped and excited to help them perform. Then you look at like all of the individual modalities that we do at CrossFit, and it's like, hey, having some specialists on our team that can help in those areas is massive. And so we're about 2.5 years in now to Jesse Bafano being like a daily member of our team on the strength side. Jesse's a powerlifting coach, also a CrossFit guy, but conjugate system, just a stud when it comes to helping people get stronger. And he just really meshes with our values, our personalities, just work out really well. And then of course, Chris Hinshaw on the endurance aerobic capacity side and swimming has been a huge asset to our team. And, you know, so for me to look at like, okay, where are my strengths? Where are my weaknesses, and who do I know that could also provide assistance, value, guidance, direction in helping these athletes continue to level up and improve? It's not only like useful, but it also makes it a lot more enjoyable.
Where are the gaps that you're seeing right now, or Spidey, you sensing with your Spidey senses? Because I know you have those. You're a dad. You have those Spidey senses, those dad reflexes on those hairs on the back of your neck. Where are the gaps that exists in the team and support group around your elite athletes?
Shit, we don't have any.
Oh yeah, okay, you're done. You're good. Good to go. Tight ship. Yeah. No leaks.
Yeah. No. Let's see. Gaps that exist.
Here's a better question. Maybe obviously, if it was a too big of a gap, right? It would be it would have been filled or it wouldn't be working. And clearly the system is working. You're producing fantastic athletes. Maybe a better question is, if there aren't any gaps that come to mind right now, what gaps might develop as CrossFit presents new challenges and as our knowledge of performance improves?
You could go down a lot of different rabbit holes, right? You could, like, rowing is an example, like just people that dedicate their lives to becoming Olympic rowers, right? And so you could really, like, zero in and dive in just on that specific thing. But, you know, in the grand scheme of CrossFit, to put in a ton of time and effort into one specific thing might help you there, but then what else does it take away from, right? And I think that one thing that we learned last year at the CrossFit Games, and, you know, maybe this is just the evolution of CrossFit, or maybe this is, you know, just kind of the result of some changes, even in leadership and programming with Boz now kind of running the show, is, you know, he brought us back to some basic level of elements, I would say mostly in gymnastics, that maybe we skipped over, you know, in the early stages, right? Some things in terms of, you know, stuff we saw like last year at the games with like press to handstand work and realizing like, hey, we have a lot of room to improve there. Other examples that I think are probably most common in the gymnastics area, but then we had some strongman elements that entered into the equation as well.
Yeah, the heavy sandbags being an example there.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I don't know that there's a specific area. I guess gymnastics is the one that kind of comes to mind first.
You actually made me think of something else. I want to take this in a different direction.
Yeah.
You know, I think a criticism that I've heard on the media side about the CrossFit Games is, oh, they always have to throw something novel and new every year. So they're just like having to make stuff up. Mm-hmm. But what's funny is oftentimes them making stuff up is them just going back to the very early stages of CrossFit and picking out things that kind of got lost in the growth of CrossFit, but were there to begin. Two examples that come to mind, and one thing you said kind of sparked this in my head. Two examples that come to mind. One, the pegboard. I remember, golly, it might have been 2016, 2017 or something like that. The pegboard was a big deal. It was introduced at the games and threw a bunch of athletes through a loop. And now you know we're going to see a pegboard during the year of competition in the CrossFit calendar. Like, you know we're going to see a pegboard. Athletes practice that. It's just like pull-ups for these elite athletes now, right?
Yep.
And something they drill. And it actually wasn't that new because it was mentioned in like one of the first editions of the CrossFit Journal in the early 2000s as like a fundamentally great thing that gyms should have. There were like do-it-yourself to build it instructions to install it on a wall, right? It wasn't coming up with something brand new. It was really pulling from the archives and from an era of physical culture that had just kind of gotten forgotten. You saw pegboards in high school gym classes 50 or 60 years ago.
100%. Yeah. Yeah. That's a great example.
I think another example is the presses to handstands.
Yep.
Right. That's something that, I mean, Greg Glassman, I'm not making any normative statements about Greg Glassman, but he had a gymnastics background. Presses to handstands were something he was talking about in CrossFit content back before CrossFit really took off with its meteoric growth, right? He was talking about pressing to handstands. I actually think, is pressing to handstands mentioned in like fitness in 100 words or less?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. So like, yeah, like literally in the 100 words that is CrossFit, right?
Yeah.
Presses to handstands. And then suddenly it's like, oh, in 2022, they were doing presses to handstands. It's new at the CrossFit Games. It's like, it can't really be that new.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's that fun.
That's so true, man. And even like the parallel bars that showed up at the games last year is like, man, those things, same thing. Like, you know, I'm sure at Greg's original gym, there was a set of parallel bars over in the corner collecting dust and they'd get on them every once in a while. And then, you know, we kind of got away from that and here they come back and people are like, oh, that's so, like you said, that's so novel and out of left field. And you're like, actually, is it? You know,
it's so funny you mentioned that. I live in Brooklyn. Shout out to Brooklyn, right?
Yeah.
And I was walking, there's like a little public park with like a small eighth of a mile, it might not even be an eighth of a mile track under the subway, elevated subway line, like about a half a mile from where I live. And they have like a little, they don't even have like a pull-up bar, but they had like an outdoor gym space, but they don't even have like a pull-up bar because there's like not a lot of clearance. But they literally have parallel bars. And I walked by that the other day and I was like, I was not doing handstands on that in my street clothes, let me put it this way. But I was like, I'm going to do some dips and I'm going to like go back and forth. I'm going to like move a few rounds forward, move a few rounds backward, do some dips. I'm going to do just a few rounds of that because I'm just walking by because I haven't been up on parallel bars in years. And I just want to make sure I can navigate that with my own body weight forward and back. And I was like, it felt good. It felt good to like flex that muscle, those muscles, and use that neural pathway. This is in like a 50-year-old public park in Brooklyn, New York. This ain't a new thing.
Not at all. Yeah. It's cool, man. You know, but it does bring up a good conversation in that, you know, there are lots of different disciplines within CrossFit. Obviously, in CrossFit, we didn't really invent anything. We're just doing stuff that other people have done forever.
Except for the thruster. And everyone's pissed about that still.
Yes, that is maybe one thing that you can hold against CrossFit. But, you know, of the disciplines, you know, in kind of the CrossFit methodology, they break it down into like three big categories of weightlifting, gymnastics, and then, you know, monostructural, which would be like weightlifting is not just Olympic weightlifting. In CrossFit, weightlifting refers to any movement of external objects, right? Gymnastics is anything you're doing with your body weight. And then monostructural is basically, you know, when you think of a cardio movement, like something that you repeat over and over. And I think that we as a CrossFit community have actually gotten like pretty decent in the field of weightlifting. There's always room to grow, but you look at like good CrossFit athletes can qualify for national level weightlifting meets.
And they often do.
Right? In gymnastics, like there's a lot of room there. You know, even good CrossFit athletes lack some basic skills that you see. You know, like my daughter's 9 years old, 8 years old, and in a gymnastics gym, and there's, you know, they're doing things that would really challenge even some of the best CrossFit athletes. And honestly, the same is true for some of the monostructural stuff. I start looking at like, you know, just paces and intervals on like track workouts, and you're like, all right, well, even some of the best CrossFitters would be pretty average at a high school track meet, right? And so, you know, obviously we're constantly kind of pushing limits of what's possible in terms of, you know, a diversity of fitness. If any of these athletes were to specialize in one area, obviously we would expect a higher trajectory there. But still, I mean, we're what, 15 years into the sport as CrossFit, and just scratching the surface of what's possible. And that's pretty cool to, you know, to just look at where we are, where we've come from, and, you know, where we're going to be in another decade from now. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I think the best thing to do sometimes in athletics is to eat some humble pie and look at what other sports that have been around for centuries, thousands of years. I mean, like some of the first sports, who can lift the heaviest rock? Who can run the fastest?
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Those are like and wrestling, and like who can just, you know, disable their opponent, right? Those are like the three original sports, basically. In my mind, maybe throwing something.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, that's like it, right? And it is humbling. You talk about, okay, let's pit these CrossFitters in like their average in a high school track meet, right? That's fantastic perspective. And I think that weightlifting became the first, different weightlifting disciplines became the first one where we started comparing CrossFitters to everyone else because it was really easy, right? It was like, what are they snatching? What are they clean and jerking? What are they deadlifting? We can compare that to these elite level athletes in like similar bodyweight classes. It's interesting to me that like the track numbers, the monostructural numbers, some of the gymnastics elements have been slower to kind of catch up in how we're comparing them to, you know, the competitive athlete in these other sports. So I do appreciate that context. What do you focus on in working with elite athletes, Justin and others, when it comes to their mental game? Are you all working with like sports psychologists? Do you have one of those on your team? Do you have any specialists? Or, you know, are you just kind of being a little bit more reactionary as those challenges and mindset obstacles come up?
Yeah, I think that's super individual. We do have an athlete right now that's working with a sports psychologist for some more general, I would say, mindset growth. But most of that, I think, happens, I would just say, in-house. And not that myself or other coaches have any formal or professional experience in, you know, in mindset coaching or things of that nature. But, you know, as you, you know, go through training and competing, you kind of find areas both physically and, you know, from a mental standpoint that might be holding you back. And if you're honest and objective about those and just able to have a candid conversation with the athletes, it's like, well, let's talk about these things and figure out how do we address them. And, you know, I know for Justin specifically, I don't think this is unique to him, but he's a super humble dude. Obviously, you look at him and you're like, man, fittest on earth. Like, there's nothing that he's not good at. And, you know, it's easy to see that from the outside, but when you look at it, you know, like in the 2020 CrossFit Games, he was going to be happy to be, you know, top 20 out of 30 in the online stage of competition. Only the top five advanced onto the final stage of the games, and he finished third there, right? And so, you know, just the idea, and he's got it written on his wall in his shred shed gym at home now, of like, my best is enough, right? And I think that mindset for him has evolved. He used to say, hey, my best is enough, because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. You know, when you get to the finish mat in a competition, a lot of times, you know, you're looking around to see who beat you and who you beat, right? But if you're looking for validation based on the people around you, you're probably missing a little bit. If you get to that finish mat and you're like, I don't care where everybody else is, I know that was the best I had. You know, maybe it just takes you a minute to get up off the floor because that was everything you could do. You know, that there's nothing more you can do. So you'll be proud of the result or the outcome, regardless of where it is, right? And for him now, it's like, hey, your best will be enough. And not only that, history has shown us that it's going to be pretty competitive regardless of what the event is, right? And so I think just simple things like that maybe sound kind of cliche, but are maybe a little bit more challenging in practice than in theory, are things that, you know, we look at on a daily basis and have conversations about too.
I appreciate that. Adam, I know that you're not a huge self-promoter, so I do appreciate you coming on here, but where is the best place for people to follow along with you, the work you're doing with your athletes and at your affiliate?
Yeah, our affiliate, it's CrossFit Fort Vancouver, so it's at CF Fort Vancouver, and I'm at Adam Neifer.
Easy enough. Adam, I really appreciate it. It always brightens my day to chat with you. Thanks for coming on again.
Heck yeah, David. Thanks for having me, man.